Good morning to each of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Beautiful Lord's Day morning, a beautiful time to gather together and to worship around the Word of God, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be filled in the inner man, and to be ready to give a reason of the hope that lies within us. I trust that each and every one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and was able to spend some time together with family and loved ones. And this morning, I want to tell you as a church that I am thankful for you. You know, Paul says something about always giving thanks for the brethren. And I don't always verbalize you, call you up on the phone and say, brother, I'm thankful for you. But this morning, I want to stand before each one of you and say that I am thankful for you. Thankful for your friendship. Thankful for your love and your care to me and to my family. And we appreciate that. I want to go to Psalm 148 just for an opening verse. As we go into this message, I do have a Thanksgiving theme this morning, and there's a lot on my heart. I don't know if I can get it all out. I'm not sure how it's all going to come out, but pray for me as we go into this. Psalm 148 in verse 1, it says this, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. And I was reading this week in one of my devotional books that I have, and it was telling the story or telling the instances of those that climb to the top of Mount Everest. And I think I can say with conviction that no one in here has climbed to the top of Mount Everest. But about 6,000 people have, if I got it correctly, to a height of 29,028 feet. They have made that trip, that hike, after months of training, to the top of Mount Everest, the highest peak in the world, from what I understand. An extreme accomplishment that few have been able to do if you look at the world population. We also know that hundreds of people have died trying to reach the top of Mount Everest. But this story went on to say that while most of us will never hike to the top of Mount Everest, but that we ascend to even greater heights when we are caught up in the joy of thanksgiving and praise. And here's a quote. It says, we are in rare air when we are breathing in the lofty atmosphere of joy and gratitude. We are dwelling above the heads of 99% of the world. When we learn to see blessings amid the problems, count our mercies instead of our miseries, and thank God in all things, knowing that this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning us. Psalm 148:1, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. This article went on to say, live in the heights today and be thankful. So I titled the message this morning, The Power of Thanksgiving. Does a thankful attitude course through your being and give you power for each and every day? Does it give you power to live in victory, power to live above the negative and the sorrow and the sadness the world tries to get into our lives? Do I need an annual holiday to remind myself personally of what I have to be thankful for? Do I need an annual holiday to be a person that breathes out gratitude and joy in my very being, the way I live and act, and those that see me, do they see gratitude and joy flowing out of my life? Do I need to be reminded every year to thank God for his unspeakable gift? Just some questions to start out with here this morning. We're going to start out a little bit on the negative, a little bit talking about unthankfulness. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy 3. I found it fascinating, and maybe all of you knew this, but I didn't know this, but I found it fascinating that the word unthankful is only found two times in the entire Bible. That word, the form of that word, unthankful. Only two times in the entire Bible. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, for this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What a list to be encapsulated with is this word unthankful. It's a list of what's in perilous times. This was very sobering and very challenging to me as I thought about this. Unthankful simply means, if you was to define it, if you was to pull it apart, it just means ungrateful. And it's just that attitude of not being thankful. The story that we read earlier tells us that we as Christians should dwell above 99% of the world if we are thankful. Are you in that 1% this morning? And I don't have the statistics here to tell you that's fact, but it was a story to prove a point. But are you in the 1% that is dwelling in the heights with thanksgiving? Are you part of this unthankful 99%? We have unthankfulness referenced in Romans chapter 1. Turn with me to Romans 1. I think William already read this morning. We're going to start in verse number 18. For the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Again, we have a picture here of being separate from God, being outside of his plan, not recognizing who he is, not being thankful, not giving God the glory due his name, not being thankful. In the scriptures, we have many examples of people that were not thankful, that didn't live a life of thanksgiving. We want to go now to the second verse that has the word unthankful in it, and that is Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Let me see if I can find it so we can save ourselves some reading. I wanted to read a few verses around this. Let's just start in verse 27 of Luke 6. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, this is Jesus' words, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Mm. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal shall be measured to you again. For he is kind unto the unthankful. The second time that word is used in the Scriptures. And I don't know what went through your mind this morning as you read that verse, or as you processed what's at the heart of what Jesus is trying to teach us. But I guess it stood out to me so clear that yes, there are a 99% that don't know a better way, that were never taught a better way, and that may never have the opportunity to know what it means to be loved or have the security of a godly home or church. God says, Jesus says, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And I guess as I pondered that verse, I don't know that I've ever read it in my whole 41 years of living where Jesus said, we've always looked at being unthankful as this sin that we don't want to be a part of. But Jesus says, he is kind unto the unthankful. And as I processed that verse this morning early, and as I was thinking about my life, this morning, are you thankful for what you have? For the opportunities that you have? For the home that you were born in? No one in the history of the world can choose what home they were born into. Many times they cannot choose the circumstances that they find themselves in. Am I thankful this morning for what I have? As a church family here this morning, are we thankful for what we stand for? Do we wish that there was a different way, an easier way, an opener way? And I had to think about our heritage, our forefathers, the ones that died for what they believed. Would I? Am I so thankful for what I have that I would die for what I believe? And I was thinking this morning of those martyrs on the way to the fire, to the lake, to the river, to the cross, wherever they were killed. All the way there, they were given the opportunity, many of them, to recant. One simple word, and the cuffs would have came off and they could have went free. And they died. Am I thankful for what we stand for as Christians today? Am I thankful for what God has done for me? Am I willing to lead out in a life of thanksgiving and thanks living? Am I willing to lead others to a thankful life by giving them the opportunities through whatever means I'm able to? If I have found myself this morning in the sin of unthankfulness, today is the day to change. Today is the day to turn around and walk out of here a thankful person. Jesus said he is kind to the unthankful. He is ready for us to come to him on bended knees and get help. It doesn't mean that we can stay an unthankful people. Unthankfulness is not an option for the Christian. Yes, Jesus is kind to you. He's kind to me. But we need to move on. We need to grow. And we need to change our perspective and our focus and become a people, a thankful people. Some questions come to my mind personally this morning. What makes me happy? Where is my heart? What means the most to me? And what do I base my success on? I got a message last night from a man that we've only met twice, I believe, as a church family. His name is Mauricio. He would have been a disciple of John Kessler while he was still in prison. And he inquired about our church. He inquired if we was on fire for God, not taken up in the secular movement in so many churches today. He said, since I saw you last, I've been in over 60% of the United States. He says, I've witnessed to over I'm going to tell you a story. Let me read it. 27 million people through many means. God has been so good and He has done so many miracles. It's just awesome. He said, maybe one day I can come and see you. Now, I don't know all how Mauricio is reaching his people. I know he has a music ministry. I know he preaches in some prisons because that's where he came from. The burden I want this morning out of that message I got is, what are you preaching? What are you teaching? Who are you touching? And how are you allowing your life to bring others to that place of thankfulness? I wonder sometimes if I personally have simply lost what it means to be a Christian. You know, there's power in living a life of gratitude because, number one, we need to be grateful for what God has done for us. And how many times do we go through a day without sharing our testimony, without taking the time to talk to somebody about the Lord, without getting real with somebody? There's a story that I've shared before. Many of you may remember it, but it just come to my heart this morning. I can't get it off my heart. There was men out in a boat. They were shipwrecked. They were lost, and they were dying. And in their final day, I believe one had already died. They were starving to death. And a seagull happened to land close enough where one of them could grab it. And that seagull kept them alive. And when that man made it back to shore, every day till he died, from what I understand the story says, he got him a bucket of shrimp and he went out and he threw it to the seagulls because he was thankful for what they did for him. Does your life breathe thanksgiving for what God has done for you? The power of thanksgiving. The word thankful simply means to be grateful. To be grateful, to be thankful, to be open with how you feel about what somebody or something that you have. This word in its form is only found twice in the Bible as well that I can find, the word thankful in that form. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 3. As we consider pursuing a life of thanksgiving, a thankful attitude, a thankful demeanor, a testimony, I don't really have any words to add to this scripture, but I just want to read it. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That is the first, one of the places where the word thankful is found. And I don't know what stuck out to you as you went through that text, but it was so meaningful to me as I read it about my life personally and what keeps me from being that thankful person. It's written down right here. Psalm 100, we have the second word. Psalm 100. Very well-known psalm, beautiful psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. The two times this word is mentioned in Scriptures. But I believe in these two times we find a source of a thankful life and attitude. How many times have you come to God and He didn't seem there? He seemed far away. He seemed unreachable. Or maybe it seemed like He didn't hear. Or your prayer was answered in a way that was opposite of what you thought. Could it be in my life, in my practice, that I'm not entering into the gates with thanksgiving and with a thankful heart? Is that hindering the power of God in my life? I was very taken back and challenged by that this morning. Let's go back to Colossians 3. And I'm going to just pick out Scripture. Pick out things that I need to do. And I don't know where you find yourself in this, but this is very real to me this morning. It's very personal to me this morning as I think about my life of gratitude, my life of ingratitude, of unthankfulness, the struggles that I've had personally. Verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ. You know, it's very simple. If Christ isn't first and center, we're not going to seek those things which are above. You know, marketing today is an incredible tool to keep all of us, many of us, in a state of unthankfulness. We don't only not have all we need, we have far above what we need. But marketing sticks everything in front of us that is better, it's bigger. Am I risen with Christ? And am I seeking those things which are above? The second one here is, where is my affection? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now that is a tough one, because we get up in the morning and we go to work and we work hard and we get money and we buy things and we have things and we buy clothes and vehicles and food. But we're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be on this earth. The things we love is supposed to be above. It's supposed to be in the heights. Verse number 5, the third thing is mortify. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth. None of us like to the thought of something being taken away from us, of something being caught up, cut off from us. It doesn't feel good to think about God taking something away from me so that I can be thankful as He would have me to be. The list of sins here, moral sins, unfaithfulness, wrong loves, covetousness, idolatry, things that you and I have a hard time admitting we struggle with. The fourth thing is now ye also put off all of these. What I want to see here is the Bible is telling you and I that we need to physically do something. We need to make a decision. We need to set our affections. We need to mortify ourselves. We need to put off anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication. We need to be honest. Verse 9 says, lie not one to another. We need to put on the new man. Put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. A lot of times we're unthankful because of what somebody has done to us, or what somebody hasn't done to us, or isn't doing. And above all these things, put on charity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ teach you and admonish you by the scriptures that you read, the songs that you sing. Talk about, praise God for the grace that He has given us. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now back up here to verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, we talked about, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I believe a source of our life, of our thanks living, our thanksgiving, our demeanor, our gratitude, our attitude, is found here in these scriptures. At least it was for me. We can always go back and start fresh today. Another source that I believe we have this morning of being thankful is to be a cheerful giver. Let's go now to 2 Corinthians 9. If we can somehow shift the focus off our problems, our needs, our wants, our don't-haves, and think about others. We have so much and so many have so little. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of his service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Verse 13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. A source for gratitude. A source that allows us to be thankful is to be a cheerful giver. What have you given this past week? What do you plan to give next week? What can I give that will help me to be thankful? Another encouragement that I received this morning is we need to tell the Lord about this. We need to tell the Lord about our struggle with ingratitude and unthankfulness. We need to let Him help us in this struggle. Philippians 4. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. At the base of a thankful heart, at the base of a thankful lifestyle, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught. Notice this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. At the base of a thankful life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is not a casual on-off relationship. The Scripture teaches us here in Colossians 2 that it is deep, it is rooted, it is built up, it is established, and it causes us to abound therein with thanksgiving. Go with me to Revelation 7 for some last scriptures here this morning. Revelation 7, exciting words the Scripture has for us. Revelation 7 and verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is the last time that we will be giving thanksgiving. This is a tie eternity of being bowed around the throne of God in an attitude of thanksgiving. Because when we enter heaven's gates, all the temptations of ungratefulness are going to stay outside. Do you believe that this morning? We are only going to be praising and thanking God for what He has done for us. Because there's no sin in heaven. There's no devil in heaven. We are going to be with God. And we're going to be in an attitude continually of thanksgiving. I was so encouraged by these scriptures this morning. As I considered my life and my lack when it comes to an attitude of gratitude and all the things that it seems we have to face. There's so many pressures. The devil is so busy to take the moments we have and turn them into moments of unthankfulness, of ungratefulness. We have the sin of covetousness. We have the temptation to look down the street, down the road, up around the corner and see somebody that is so much better off than us. But in Revelation it says, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And I am so thankful for that this morning. I'm so thankful that you and I can start afresh today with a life of thanksgiving and thanksgiving. I want to end with a poem here this morning. I shared this poem, I think, about 4 years ago. And it was in relation to other people who had experienced loss. And if I can get through it this morning, I want you to think about the message of this poem. There are loved ones who are missing from the fireside and the feast. There are faces that have vanished. There are voices that have ceased. But we know they pass forever from our mortal grief and pain. And we thank Thee, O our Father, for the blessing that remain. Thanksgiving, O thanksgiving, that their loved once blessed us here. That is long they walk beside us, showing every smile and tear. For the joy the past has brought us, but can never take away. For the sweet and gracious memories growing dearer every day.
For the faith that keeps us patient, looking at the things unseen, knowing spring shall follow winter, and the earth again be green. For the hope of that glad meeting, far from mortal grief and pain, we thank thee, O our Father, for the blessings that remain. For the love that still is left us, for the friends we hold us dear, for the lives that you may need us, that yet may need us, for their guidance and their cheer, for the work that waits our doing, for the help we can bestow, for the care that watches o'er us, wheresoe'er our steps may go, for the simple joys of living, for the sunshine and the breeze, for the beauty of the flowers and the laden orchard trees, for the night and for the starlight, for the rainbow and the rain. Thanksgiving, O our Father, for the blessings that remain. I trust as you gathered here this morning that you have gathered here with a desire to be a people of thanksgiving. May God bless you.